You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name is Kent Swanson. I'm the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. You are listening to the AP Laboratory.
War Eagle.
Come on, Maddie. Maddie, who's your college team?
We're starting with this already.
Who's your college team, Maddie?
We're starting with this. I am a Tigers fan.
Care to elaborate? Literally.
Clemson, LSU, Auburn, Missouri, I guess, for like baseball or softball.
Princeton.
One of the Princeton Tigers are a great football team in the Ivy League. Any other Tigers out there, I am welcome
to Detroit Tigers. He loves them.
I will show up to any game rooting on the Tigers.
There's fun fact, the Tigers is the most used mascot in college. Probably.
I'm aware.
Okay.
Oh, it's because Maddie went to a college that only has the one mascot ever. In the history of the nation.
I guess so. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to do it. It's mostly just mailbag, but a couple of the questions we're going to kind of dive in a little bit on. A couple housekeeping notes. If you guys like the podcast channel, apparently 5-star reviews on iTunes is a good thing. We would love more of them. Please support the podcast channel with those 5-star reviews. That would be wonderful. We are winding down. We are 2 weeks away from launching the KC Draft Guide. Very excited about this. I just finished running backs tonight. Craig, I think you finished cornerbacks tonight. Is that right?
Yep, and off-ball linebackers last
Maddie,
night.
Maddie, how many positions have you finished?
Man, we're a little behind, but this is also what happens when you have like 30 players from the shared position group that you have to ride up while Kent has like three.
Can I say something though, Maddie? Because this is kind of karma.
War Eagle.
Maddie has strategically been playing this all year where like he'll stumble on someone that's like really interesting and fun on Twitter and he'll be like, oh, who's this character? I guess I'll take him. Whoops. And he's done that like the entire off season. So I've been getting bums this whole year. And Maddie's just been subtly like, oh, sure. Why not? I'll grade the fun players. I know that your quarterbacks and running backs can't. And those are totally positions that the Chiefs are going to take and are very deep this year. Sure. You go ahead. Just take the backup edge from BYU. That's fine. Go ahead. I'll take someone fun.
This is why you should have been grinding the tape last June with me.
Well, then he's going to complain about the fact that he's got all the good players.
Oh,
that
I have so many write-ups to do. Well, I wonder why. Because you took all the good players. Anyways.
Hey. Cool. That's okay. We'll keep working. That's all right. You keep your running backs. You go finish your quarterbacks. I think there's a guy from southeastern West Coast Louisiana that needs you to watch him tonight.
I about quit talking about football after watching Drew Anderson. So you can just I just gave up. I slandered him on Twitter without being mean. Anyways. Go to gum.co/KCDraft if you want to pre-order our work. Promo code NERD gets it to you for $6.99. Over 200 write-ups on prospects. Over 300 ranked. We got some features. Craig's got a really cool feature. I've got a feature I'm excited to write and some other stuff. It's going to be a great resource during the draft season, and you can get it for $6.99 for the next couple weeks. The promo codes are not going to be advertised as prominently after that. But you know, here's a hint for the OG listeners.
I guess my feature is less cool as theirs because I didn't get a shout out, but that's okay.
I don't think we totally know what your feature is yet because you're too busy writing profiles.
You know what it is. You just don't want to shout it out. That's okay, Kent. That's all right. My Tigers, both of my Tigers are still playing. We're good.
Oh, man. But yeah, check it out if you have a minute. Just so you know, we'll just tell the podcast listeners right now, there might be some of these codes that we have are going to be active for the most part through the draft season, but we probably aren't going to be advertising the discounted price. It'll still be out there loosely. Some of these might be, but yeah, so here, there's just a hint. Maybe we'll just advertise a discount only on the podcast because we love you guys.
So I still want
an 808 code for a guy that's on
for Jalen Ferguson's three cone.
Just for Jalen.
Oh, I feel bad.
His three cone, a little bit of heartbreak, wherever you want to put it as.
I kind of just feel bad about like spending so much time. We almost talked about it on the draft show. It's monumental and historic. Like we talked about having 8 seconds of silence for his draft.
LaTeX had their pro day the same day as big schools, as Power 5 schools. The issue is they drug it along so late into the night that he was the only thing happening was people waiting for his numbers. Mm-hmm. And then they came in.
NFL Network.
And all anybody could do.
The NFL Network
was race to Twitter.
The NFL Network brought someone out there to like be the beat writer for his report or for his pro day. Oh, but shout out to Patrick Claibon for going down there.
Yeah, yeah, way to be, Patrick.
Thanks for
man.
Very strategically placed three cone times. Just hours and hours and hours. And actually, it might have just been that they were waiting for him to finish it. It was getting dark. This thing.
Maybe that's why he kept slipping. He couldn't see the cones. He was just guessing where they might be.
That's what it was.
You know what's going to happen.
It's actually only a 7-9-8.
Guys, you know Jalen Ferguson's going to be the first round pick of the Chiefs now, right?
Absolutely, yes. At 22, they're trading up.
I mean, it has to happen.
They're going
to
follow that up with Baker.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They're going to trade up both their... They're going to trade up for... Just go all in. All the eggs in the Baker and Ferguson baskets. That's what we deserve. All this work. Wow, this thing derailed.
All this work and all this slander.
This thing derailed quickly. This thing really derailed.
I don't even know the direction of this podcast right now.
There is no direction, apparently. But we're going to answer... What we decided to do is we're going to answer the mailbag questions that you guys gave us. And a couple of them we're probably going to dive in a little bit on. In fact, we're going to start with this one. At Austin G24 asks, am I crazy to think that the current defense players coaches considered is a better unit than what KC had last year? It can't get worse. I mean, it can, but... But I feel like I'm losing brain cells listening to how losing Houston Ford and Barry is going to cripple this team. I'll just start by saying this. I don't think losing Houston Ford and Barry is going to cripple this team. I think the loss of D Ford is significant. Do not get me wrong. That's mm-hmm. the biggest one that you're losing to this point. But new energy, new accountability, new leadership, new blood. They don't know the history of this team's defense because most of that defense is gone. I mean, there's not bad things to go with, you know, with this new regime. I mean, it's a complete overhaul, and they are stripping it down to the studs, and the only stud left is Chris Jones. But
I feel like that is a strong slander towards the Honey Badger.
I mean, yeah, but he's a new stud.
Left.
No, and
yeah,
I think
it's a new step.
And that's a big thing that they talked about is they wanted to get this new defense going with a bunch of new parts, so everybody was kind of learning it together. That was something that they had mentioned during the opening press conference and stuff after they were announcing free agent moves. So the whole thing of restarting new is definitely happening. Getting rid of some of the past leaders is something that's kind of necessary if you're rebuilding everything from the ground up.
Right. So,
And Chris Jones is the longest tenured member of this defense.
Are you,
right now.
Wait, for real? What about Dan?
And so we
Dan
bring
Sorensen?
Back Craig Zombo.
Technically, yeah. Sorry. Dan Sorensen's already gone in my mind. I'm sorry.
I mean, but he very well could be.
He could still be here. But I mean, if you think about it, there's not very many long term guys that have been
there
here.
Isn't.
They've got it cut down to very minimal guys that have been here longer than the last couple
of
years.
I would say, okay. Let's see here. Chris Jones, Dan Sorensen, Eric Murray.
Reggie
Reggie Ragland's only been here for 2 years,
Murray.
though.
I know, but I mean, that seems like it a does. Lifetime.
Guys, Frank Zombo's coming back.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
Zombo is coming back in that door at some point in time, and he will retake the throne as the longest tenured defensive Chiefs player as he continues to play starting snaps.
Ugh. I mean, is he your Sam?
He is my everything.
He's your Zam with a Z. He's your Zam.
Okay, move on. No. Roll it.
Okay.
Keep rolling.
Anyway, so let's just I'll Craig. I'm just gonna have Craig answer this question, Maddie. I don't want to hear it from you. Craig, tell me, list the starting defense in the base 4-3 under.
Okay, base 4-3 under defense. Strong side defensive end is Breland Speaks. And you've got Derek Nnadi as your one tech, Chris Jones as your three tech, Alex Okafor as your Leo currently. On the second level, don't listen to what the Chiefs are saying. We've got our new guy,
Damian Wilson.
Which I already...
Damian with an E.
I already blanked on his name this Sunday evening. Hitchens is playing as the Mike. Dorian O'Daniel's going to play as the Will. On the outsides, you've got Bashaud Breland and Kendall Fuller in the nickel. Kendall kicks in and Charvarius Ward rotates in. And then you've got Honey Badger as your box safety and Jordan Lucas.
Choo choo.
Or Armani Watts, I guess. Wah, or to be named later.
Safety to be named later. Alongside. Trey Boston.
Yeah. Trey Boston.
You would think Trey Boston would be in the building
that's the
by
current,
now, though.
Maybe. There was tweets of him where he sounded like, I don't know. No. Anyway, so that's your starting defense, though. They've got guys at every position now. There's not a giant hole in that starting defense anymore.
I mean.
Well.
That's the next question. Craig started us off. Biggest need for a replacement player on this defense as we sit today?
I think the biggest need is going to be that deep safety. I just think there's too many question marks. I like Jordan. I like him a lot. I would like for him to be that guy. But if I had to pick a guy that this organization seems to have the least amount sort of invested in so far, I think it's Lucas of all these guys.
That's interesting. So, okay, and I'll let Maddie answer this question here in a second, but now I'm very curious. Should the Chiefs take a deep safety at 29 then?
No, because I just don't think the value is there. I don't think the value is the same. I still think that even though deep safety is the biggest need for replacement on the current starting defense, they do still need pass rushers. They do still need cornerbacks. Those guys are going to be needed not only this season, but as starters in 2020. They don't have those guys on the roster right now. So I think that those are the positions that they still need to target. They can get by with safeties. They can get by with a guy back there. They've got several guys in house. So I think that they'll be fine at safety. Still got to go corner.
Okay, Maddie, tell me who you think the biggest need is for a replacement at this point then.
Well, thank you, Kent, for letting me step in here now, even though you don't want to hear from me. However, I think the biggest need is still just a pass rusher off the edge. Like, I like Alex Okafor. I wanted the Chiefs to look at him last year when there was a chance he was coming out. I think I mentioned that before. So I really like him as a player, but he's just not bringing the juice off the edge. He's not a guy that's really going to threaten on 3rd and 7. He's not a guy that you're worried about as a quarterback beating you off your tackle around the corner. You're more worried about the scheme pressure that's going to come from this new defense, which is great, but you still need an edge player that's capable of winning one-on-one. You need a guy that's going to really pose that threat, not even just speed. It can be a power rusher. It can be a technical or a pass rusher, just somebody that can win relatively quickly off the edge. And I don't think they have that on the roster right now, not as a starter, not as a reserve. At this point, they're relying on pressure from Chris Jones up the middle or a slow burn pass rush from a blitz, a stunt, or just Breland Speaks and Alex Okafor crushing the pocket until the quarterback has nowhere to go.
Okay, I agree with Maddie. I think pass rush off the edge is still very important to this team. I mean, you think about, like, if Alex Okafor went down, you're looking at
Tano season.
Maybe if Tano's still on the roster. I mean, like, I think
Frank Zombo.
Here Frank comes Zombo. Undersized. Doesn't matter. Tobe vouched for him.
Everything.
Dave Tobe vouched for him. Okay. I agree with you.
Just like special teams.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna give you guys this scenario, and you tell me how you feel about this defense if this happens. Okay. And I didn't want to just make it like a very optimistic perspective. I wanted to kind of make it like it might be a little bit of a challenge. Let's say the Chiefs finish day two with Clelin Ferrell in a trade up, Lonnie Johnson at cornerback, and JJ Arcega-Whiteside at wide receiver in the first three rounds. How do you feel?
So off the bat, I think I obviously love the Ferrell pick. He's one of my favorite guys in this class. I think he's being vastly underrated right now. And as I just said, he fits the biggest need that I see on the defense, probably the whole team. So I feel great about that. If you hit your first round pick in a draft, it's hard to ever walk away feeling terrible. Like no matter what happens after there, you still feel pretty good because you have the most likely to hit position and player knocked out of the park with the first pick. Lonnie Johnson's not my favorite cornerback. I understand the intrigue. He's a developmental guy that has great size. You can play him up on the line of scrimmage and hope he kind of beats people up. And he looks to be a great athlete. So I get the allure, but second round for me, or just even on day two, is just a little early for me to feel confident in his growth going forward. I don't see the path as of right now. And then JJ Arcega-Whiteside, I mean, I guess we did talk about wanting a tight end too, so we got our move tight end too there. But besides that, I mean, there's other tight ends I'd rather have.
Yeah, I would follow along the same lines as Matt there. I love Cleland. I think that he's a guy that can come right in and have a major impact in a rotational role, and then you can let him kind of take the reins in 2020 and just go from there. Lonnie Johnson is a guy that if you put on his tape, he has a lot of moments where he looks like a guy who's never played quarterback before.
I mean,
so
you're not wrong.
He's rough to watch. He's just got such a very physical profile, and he's a good athlete. But I'm not in the mood for drafting just pure athletic traits in round two at that spot. So I would prefer something different there. And then adding a wide receiver, there are more dynamic options than JJ Arcega-Whiteside. But I can't say that I would be mad at adding another big body to this offense.
I would love the Clelin investment and trading up to get him. I think you got to trade up to get him. And I would be all in on that. And I think you're probably going to hear us talk about Clelin Ferrell for like the next 35 days.
However many weeks.
And then, you know, the few weeks afterwards because, you know, he's on the roster.
I'm talking
right?
about him for at least 12 years.
But with Lonnie Johnson, like, first off, I would not be stunned if the Chiefs ended with a couple of Matt House guys because that just makes too much sense. And it's a little bit terrifying because I could see Lonnie Johnson being one of the second round picks. Like, very realistically. Because, I mean, doesn't that just feel right? I mean, Matt. Yeah. So, like, I do not discount that Matt House connection. The Chiefs will end up with a Kentucky Wildcat on their roster. But it could be an undrafted guy, but it's going to happen.
I think it'll be a special teams guy. Like I would feel the safest saying it's going to be a try-hard leader, special teams kind of guy over the pure athlete, but I do get where you're coming from. There's going to be a Kentucky
player. I bet
player
you it's – I would be surprised if it wasn't a draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think if you're going to make a pick like related directly to a coach, you're looking at a guy that's kind of like a coach's favorite, which is usually a special teams leader, try-hard guy. That's the only thing I'm thinking. But, I mean, Lonnie Johnson fits what we think the Chiefs are looking for at corner, so he's definitely an option.
Which
that guy's going to be Mike Edwards.
Yeah, I could
see
that, too.
Mike Edwards. They're going
to Cash Daniels.
Or Darius West.
Big cha-ching.
Just not Jordan Jones. That's it. It won't be Jordan Jones.
Okay. So I'm just gonna just throw out a number here for this. Where
46. Oh, okay, sorry. That's what the Jayhawks lost by, right?
Close. Okay, Maddie, thank you for derailing this. As usual. Take a guess. Where is the defensive? Where's the defensive DVOA for a team that adds Clelin Ferrell and Lonnie Johnson? I'll say 23rd.
I'll say 19.
Hmm. 21.
Okay, so I mean we're kind of all in that. They're not quite middle of the road. They're kicking the door down on the middle of the road.
If that's all they do, yes, I think that's about where we're going to be. With the amount of money we have, I still expect another move, which changes that. But for this exercise where we are right now, not knowing, yeah, I think those exact moves get you into that bottom of the last third of the, or the best of the last third of the league.
Well, that's right. The point of the exercise. So, okay. we are going to take a break, and we will be back right after this.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Okay, finishing up the rest of these questions. We only got through one before the commercial break, which is...
Thanks, Kate.
I mean, this is impressive. But it was a good question I kind of expanded on. I wanted to kind of go farther down the road with that one because it's something we've kind of talked about recently. Okay. One Lost Wizard asks, your guess, who is the best player available at number 29?
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, that's a good that's a good one.
Am I cheating?
No, that's
cheating,
a good though? No, that's good. Okay. That's good.
Cool.
Yeah. For me, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think, is still going to be there at 29. I think he's the best player that will be left.
How about this? Let's go Nasir Adderley. I could see you know, right now he's in the on the KC draft guide big board right now, he's in the 20s. I could see him falling out of that first round range and being an early second round pick.
I think that's interesting because I think both of you guys pick safeties, and I do think one of them goes before 29, but definitely not both. So there's a very good chance that whichever one's still left is the highest left on our draft board, just based on positions and where they're going to go.
Yeah, one of the tackles might fall. Maybe Dillard or Kajust.
Kajust too.
Maybe.
I could see Kajust falling too. Jake. At Jake 049, numbers, a lot of numbers. I should probably just read them out, but Jake, shout out to Jake with the digits. Talk me down from demanding Hakeem Butler. My soul needs him with Mahomes for the next decade. I and Maddie love Hakeem Butler. He's a fantastic player. I think he's still an ascending player. Some of his best plays are as good as anyone's in this class. He missed a few easy catches at times. I think his athletic profile is solid for a guy that big. I think he's going to be able to separate at the next level too. Enough. I'm a fan of his. Craig, what about you?
Okay, I'll play devil's advocate because I also like Hakeem Butler a lot. But if you're taking Hakeem Butler, you have to take him in the first round.
Yeah.
He's not going to be there at 61 or 63. If you're doing that, You now take that, what we just said, 19-21, 23rd DVOA defense. You take Cleveland Farrell off of that. Now all of a sudden you're talking about 27, 28, 29 for that DVOA.
However, hashtag score 100.
Yes.
Kids
however,
stole my joke.
Yeah,
it's Jake's
you're
joke.
You're still going to be able to
Jake's leading the movement. Teams.
Jake isn't here, so I need to relay Jake's joke to Jake.
I've been using the hashtag more than you. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, it's almost like you're watching offensive players or something.
Okay, sorry. Matthew, give us your Hakeem take.
Jake, I will get up on this building ledge that you're on, and we can sit up there and scream until we are blue in the face about getting Hakeem Butler on this team, and I'll gladly do it with you. But here's the thing. I don't think you're getting him at 29, and this isn't the kind of team that needs to trade up for a wide receiver. That's my only qualm with asking for Hakeem Butler. I think you would have to move up in the draft to get him at this point in time.
Let's stay on the wide receiver position. Nate, CH479, what do you guys think about Pierre Garçon being a third option potentially?
I mean, he's okay. I think this team needs some bodies at receiver and smart, technical, good hands. I think that he offers enough to kind of help this defense out if Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins wasn't able to play for a period of time in 2019. And I think it also alleviates the need to have to take a guy early. You can kind of gamble on a wide receiver later that maybe doesn't have quite the same projection and then, you know, go after one of the excellent ones in 2020. But yeah, I'd be fine with Pierre Garçon getting added.
Eh, that's how I would feel about it. And just a lot of eh. I would personally rather even have Jordy Nelson. I would roll the dice on Dez Bryant if he's healthy enough. I mean, it's you're looking at a veteran receiver that you think can come in and be trusted by Pat. I don't know who all's ready, who's they think can pick up the offense the quickest. If Garçon signed, like, I'm not going to be mad about it. They're not going to pay him a ton of money, so it is kind of what it is. But he wouldn't move the needle for me. I think he would more than likely be relegated to wide receiver 4 or 5 once they get going by guys that are younger, still a little bit more explosive. I don't know if Garcon's just that kind of steady, super trustworthy guy that's just going to continue to be savvy into his late 30s like some guys seem to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm, like, overwhelmed by it. I don't think it's, like, something, like, I'm thrilled with. I kind of tend to agree with what Maddie said. Okay, can you provide any insight on which guys from the practice squad or roster that maybe didn't play that much last year the coaches might have some high hopes for taking a big step forward, maybe becoming a major contributor? I think you heard a lot of stuff about them liking Ryan Hunter, the offensive lineman, as a kind of a developmental, kind of like as a developmental offensive lineman. He's got that versatility where he can play inside and out. He kicked out to right tackle, even. He was getting looks at right tackle. The other guy that I'm really interested in that I think they might have some interest in potentially is Rob McCray. 6'2", 285 pounds, tested exceptionally well at his pro day last year, the defensive lineman from Indiana. They were trying to play him, make him as a stand-up edge. I wonder if he's dense enough and long enough, because I think he's got some length too, to maybe play as a defensive end. And with that athleticism, that flexibility, he could run stunts and twists. Like, he would have no problem with that. So maybe he gets a long look this year. Got injured during training camp last year and was on IR.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to take Maddie's guy because I know who he's going to say. So I'll bail on him.
Oh, I'm interested because I don't even know what I'm going to say. So let's go. Oh,
okay. Well, I'm going to go with Justin Hamilton. I know that he got a lot of run there at the end of the year, but there's not really that many guys on the defensive side of the ball, especially, that didn't get run that really have a chance to do so. So Hamilton will be my guy inside. They need more guys inside that can kind of play and penetrate and offer a little more juice. We've seen a little bit out of Hamilton. They were comfortable enough to let Jarvis Jenkins go, a guy that was playing a lot to that point last year. And Justin Hamilton got some run there under Bob Sutton in that defensive line rotation. I think he can come in there and kind of rotate in and offer some power and speed inside.
So I think Daryl Williams would count for this exercise.
Daryl,
he's a guy
the barrel.
Who barely played a little bit. I don't like that nickname.
Daryl,
I think we just go with
Rell.
I really
barrel.
Think we just go with Rell. And he showed some promise when he got on the field. Like, he looked pretty good. I loved him in preseason. He showed some flashes late in the year, giving Damian Williams some rest. But the signing of Carlos Hyde kind of throws a wrench into how many playing or how much snaps he might get. Just because Hyde is so consistent as a pass blocker, I really do think that's going to limit. So we're going to have to hit up our guy, Byron Pringle. Talked about him a bit last week. But I really like his route running and his ability to be a vertical deep threat, which is going to be perfect in this offense. I would be really surprised if Byron Pringle doesn't make the active day roster and start getting some snaps as the year goes on, because he just had so many flashes in college and even last year in the preseason that there's something there if you get it all nailed down.
You heard Andy Reid mention multiple times that Byron Pringle was probably making the 53. So I think that tells you all you need to know. I'll just answer with this one really quick. At Chiefs Boy RDG, who are some young guys on the defense who showed a little juice to give you hope towards the end of the year? I'll just answer this part because I think we've answered most of them. I think Charvarius Ward showed some promise late in the year. So that's a guy. I don't know if you have any more because we mentioned Justin Hamilton and there really wasn't a ton of guys. I will ask you this. I'm going to ask you this question, guys. Who are the best candidates to make a leap this year?
So I had two guys, actually, in terms of showing a little juice or making a leap. And, I mean, we've mentioned one briefly, so I won't talk about him. And we talked about him a lot last year. But Jordan Lucas, like, there's enough there that I think you have to be a little happy about what you've seen. He just seems the guys rally around him. So just other than the fact that he seems to be a good morale guy, that'll give him a chance. And if he can show promise like he did early in the year, then there's something there. But Dorian O'Daniel, I think, is ready to make the actual leap. I think he's ready to be a real player this upcoming year, which is a big leap from what he was last year. Let him get out there, chase stuff down from a better position for him. I think that's a guy you're just going to see a big difference in terms of what he looked like last year to this year.
Yeah, and I think that a guy who kind of already made that leap last year, but I'm going to use him anyway because I think he can take another step forward, Andrew Wiley. Andrew Wiley, I think, has a starting spot on this roster or on this offensive line somewhere. And it might be that left guard position that we kind of saw Cam Irving and Jeff Allen rotate through. He got some reps early on in OTAs and camp as the starting left guard, ran with the ones there. They've tried him out there a little bit. I don't know if they feel comfortable with him there, but he showed enough throughout the end of last year. He has a little bit of a nasty streak. He's athletic. He's powerful. I think that he's a guy that can come in and start on this offensive line and maybe on that left guard spot.
I was thinking about something kind of within this framework the other day. I think a guy, and I don't think he's primed necessarily to make the leap, but a guy that the Chiefs need to make a leap is Breland Speaks. They need something out of him. I don't know if they're going to get it out of him, but he's been put in the best situation to succeed this year. He's dropped into a scheme that fits him better. He needs to, whatever his body, like whatever they need him to do to work his body out, maybe they can get him a little bit more athletic. That's kind of a pipe dream, but I mean, they need him to rework his body. They need him to have an excellent offseason. It's a critical offseason for him and his defense. If he can help, that would be huge. So I don't know if I expect it, but he needs to, and this is the best situation he's been in. At Steve Gray asks, what are the Chiefs going to do with their remaining cap space? I think you could see them making a trade. I think there might be a vet trade that they could, you know, potentially look at. They've got the cap space to do it. They've got the draft capital to do it. If not, I mean, you're going to extend Chris Jones probably, or Tyreek Hill maybe. I mean, we'll see. And beyond that, maybe they just roll it over into next year.
Yeah, I think that at this point, it's looking like if there's no trade, they're just going to roll it over and they are going to spend like crazy next offseason in the last cheap year of Pat Mahomes' rookie deal. So that's what I think they're going to do.
Yeah, the rollover concept just scares me a little bit because I really do think it's essentially throwing away another year. Like, I understand that probably wasn't the plan going into it, but just holding onto the cash and then rolling it into next year to spend next year, like, what is the goal for this year? Is it just to show a little bit of growth on defense before making the final surge? It just seems like an odd time to go that route. You would have preferred them to do that starting last year if that was the plan. Now, I get it. They were getting out of John Dorsey's cap hell, so it is what it is. But I think that there's a trade that they're trying to work on. I still feel very confident that there is another move for a free agent or a trade coming in that this money's going to go to. I do not think they are going to – I don't think Veach is the kind of guy that's just going to pocket money to use it a later date.
No. There's.
They tried to go get Earl.
I mean, yeah, Earl was earmarked for $12 million.
Right. I mean, with Honey Badger. Like, they were doing both of those guys.
I mean, what are they going to do now? Spend $12 million on Trey Boston? I mean, like, if there's nothing to do with it, like, I mean, just you know, punt and live to fight another day. I mean,
that's the thing, though. I just don't think that Veach is a guy that is going to punt to live and fight another day, whether good or bad.
I just don't know if there's anything of significance to really throw into the mix. So that's my only thing.
You got cuts coming again. You'll have the late round of cuts. Maybe some of it's used then. I don't know. It's just, I don't think Veach is just going to be like, okay, there's nothing left that we want. Let's just hold on. I think that you might see a couple more 1 year contracts come out just to spend some of the money this year to help. I think there's more coming in. I just don't see Veach sitting on this kind of money. And maybe that's just me trying to read too much into early moves where he's trying to establish something as well. But he just seems really aggressive.
I'll say I don't disagree with that at all. I just, at the same time, it's like, I'm looking at it right now from where we're sitting here today, and like, I don't see anything where I'm like, you got to go spend it on this, and this. And I think that's kind of where I'm just coming from is like, okay, yeah, you're right. When the late cuts come, there might be a couple players that they can get into the mix, and that makes sense. But they're kind of waiting. They're letting the market dictate the situation, I guess, is where I feel like they're not able to be
Chiefs
aggressive.
Chiefs sign Ndamukong Suh for a 1 year deal. How do you feel?
I that's not a bad idea, Maddie.
I don't hate it. And the other part of that is when it comes down to cuts at the end of the year, the Chiefs have another $9.5 million that's getting freed up after June 1st.
Yeah,
so right. They've got money to spend.
It's yeah, but I feel like for the most part it's going to be reactionary. Maybe Ndamukong Suh's in the mix, but like, I don't know if there's. I mean, is there anything beyond that we're really looking at going, okay, they need to go out and do this?
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at Muhammad Wilkerson, but I don't think you're paying him a ton coming off his injury in a 1 year deal. And like, no, besides a trade, there's not a lot out there on the free agent market right now. I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to just spend money to spend money, there are a couple options. I just think that Veach isn't going to sit around happily taking this much money the next year. I don't think he's Ballard. I don't think he's got that patience hoarding money way that Ballard does. So I think he will make something available for him to spend.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. I never said it was great. I think that – so this is a little bit of a tangenty thing, but I think Ballard's a little too safe with his money. Like, the Colts are building a good roster, but they could be a lot better if they would be willing to overpay for guys that they could have used earlier in free agency. What are they doing with all this extra money right now? I think Veach is teetering on being too aggressive, and I think that's why you're going to see him spend some of this money. He might be willing to overpay to get somebody that's less of a need and more of a want again, because I don't see him keeping money on the side.
I mean, you may not be wrong. You really won't.
Just the look of disgust on Kent's face right now.
I mean, I'm over here trying to get comp picks. So, right. At Brandon 422 asks, will Armani Watts or Jordan Lucas be the free safety?
I think that we're a bit of a slanted podcast to ask this question.
I know, we need to approach it.
I think, no, people ask. And so here's the thing. I think the defense that the Chiefs are going to run is a defense that Armani Watts could play deep in. This is a defense that's not going to ask him to be a center fielder and cover from hash mark or numbers to numbers. He's going to be allowed to limit the space he has to cover, which allows him to play downhill a little bit more, which is where his ball skills and ability to take the ball away comes into effect. I still don't love his ability in man-to-man coverage. His tackling downright scares me. Watching him try to break down in space, being the last line of defense, really frightens me. I would rather have Jordan Lucas, who's no great tackler in his own right, but he at least can provide a speed bump on a, you know, play-by-play basis. and he's shown me enough ball skills as well. I think he has a little bit better range. I would lean towards Lucas at this point in time.
And then at the same time, it's not necessarily that you need to classify it as just the free safety in that situation. If you have Jordan Lucas on the field, you can put him in the slot. He played in the slot a lot last year, and he shows that capability. He used to be a corner, so he's a guy that has man coverage ability. You could sort of disguise what you're doing a little bit more. It gives you a little more freedom if you have both Lucas and Honey Badger on the field together. Those two can kind of interchange and swap around where you need them to. And while Lucas isn't going to be the same guy that Honey Badger is, the drop-off and the ability to switch between those guys still gives Spagnuolo a little bit of versatility.
At Magruder, PMAC asks, is there a possibility of trade talks out there? And I asked the question about trading. I'm going to reread this. I'm just going to go to the question. It got cut off in the middle of it. Would you guys consider trading for Xavien Howard from Miami? KC visits Miami in 2020. Howard fits the 4-3 scheme.
I think Xavien Howard fits most schemes. I mean, whether it's going to be a 4-3-3-4, he's a very good cornerback. He's physical. He's shown enough athleticism to live in the NFL. He's a little inconsistent for my liking. Like, he's very feast or famine. He can shut down the best receivers in the league one week and then get bodied by an average receiver the next week. But I think at this day and age, that level of cornerback play, even on an inconsistent basis, is invaluable. So if the Dolphins, like they appear to be, are willing to trade away every single asset they could possibly think of for 2020 draft capital, sure, why not? Let's pick up the phone. Let's figure out what they want for Xavien Howard. Maybe he's not in their long-term plans like anybody else on their roster. I'm not sure. I wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, Xavien Howard is a definite upgrade over any cornerback that the Chiefs have on their roster currently, so you can't be mad at him or mad at that move. He's a guy that you could bring in and you don't have to worry about the cap space or anything like that. So I would sign him up immediately. He's a big upgrade on the back end, and it kind of gives you a little more flexibility. You don't have to target a corner as heavily early in the draft. You can maybe take a project and try and develop them a little later.
At Butch No Way asks, what are some names of players that we should read up on when the draft guide is released?
Well, Butch, I'm so glad you asked. You know, in the draft guide, we are going to have one of the features that we're going to have on there is in the reports, we are going to have badges up in the upper right-hand corner for guys that we believe are our guys. They're going to be like a My Guy sticker that's up there, and it's going to kind of highlight some of the guys that, as we've watched tape, they're not necessarily the best players at the position group. We may not have them ranked the highest, but they are guys that we love the way that they play. We love what they bring to the team. We would love them on our rosters or loved watching them play. So one of the guys that I would pick is cornerback from Central Michigan, Sean Bunting. He's a guy that's just shooting up draft boards right now after a crazy awesome combine. He tested through the roof. And if you read the draft guide, you'll find out why that's important in my feature. But he's a guy that needs a lot of technique help, but he's got all of the raw ability. He's a lump of clay, and he's a guy that you could bring in and kind of teach him to play the way that you want him to play and utilize that athletic ability a little bit later in the draft and be able to get a really top-notch corner out of him, you know, within probably 1 or 2 years, and you have this guy on the boundary that you could really count on.
So we have the Lucas locomotive. Craig, you know if we get Sean Bunting, we're going to have to get the Bunting bus out, right?
Beep, beep.
All right. So as Craig said, the My Guy stamps are up there. And yeah, he is laid it out perfectly. It's a guy that if we were in a war room, we are going to bang the table for, at, you know, the area that we have them graded. But it's a guy that, like, if they're available where we have them graded, we would try our hardest not to let them not be on our team. And My Guy, safety from Maryland, Darnell Savage.
Stunned. I love his that you're film. Going with Savage.
He is some of the most fun film, I think, this year. Like, there's even guys, not every My Guy has the most fun film. Most of them are, but Savage's film is just a blast. He probably has the best click and close that I've seen in a couple years. he's a fast player. I mean, he ran a blazing 40. He's got great acceleration, but you just watch him. He gets from a deep safety position down to the line of scrimmage or in the backfield in time to outrun receivers on reverses or end arounds, blow screens up from 15 yards away before they can even get the ball and turn upfield. He just flies around like a missile. Great man coverage skills for a safety out of the slot. He's routinely baiting quarterbacks into throwing to a guy that he's playing off of. He'll play off of his man, let another receiver look like they're open, and bait the quarterback into throwing the ball there, and then just jump in front of it and pick it off. He did it multiple times this past season. He's just such a fun player to watch. And the best part is we talked about Jordan Lucas providing a little bit of the same kind of play as Tyrann Mathieu. That is exactly what Darnell Savage looks like out there. He's a little skinnier, but he plays that same frantic pace, essentially plays the same position with the same amount of versatility. Just imagining those two guys on the field at the same time, there would not be a just faster secondary around.
All aboard the Savage streetcar.
You try.
Nah. Bunting bus is better.
Yeah. So I'm going to drive the Tristan train here. Tristan Hill. Definitely, I was the first person to watch this player, obviously. And I definitely discovered him.
Clearly better.
And Maddie did not suggest we watch him. He did not make him one of our secondary grades at all. Tristan Hill, defensive lineman from Central Florida. He is currently sitting at 85th on the KC Draft Guide board. His first step, as for his snap explosion, his first step is phenomenal. It's so enjoyable to watch. You laugh. I laughed a couple times.
It's so fast, it already happened.
Yeah. I mean, Tristan Hill could get off the ball, reset, and get off the ball 8 times in the amount of time it took Jalen Ferguson to run his 3 cone. And you know, the funny thing is, like, I don't think he completely knows what he's doing yet. I think he's kind of a little too, he's not controlled yet, but the first step, the get off is exceptional. He's fluid for a guy his size too. And I think he's got pretty powerful hands. He just needs some work. He needs to kind of slow down. He needs to develop, but that's a guy that I think would look wonderful in Kansas City. Tristan Hill is currently ranked 85th on our board. Sean Bunting, currently rated 81st on our board. And Darnell Savage is sitting at 58th on the KC Draft Guide board.
You can't talk about Tristan Hill and not mention the fact that as a defensive tackle, he has like 5 tackles 30 yards downfield.
Yeah, great
like
effort.
The fact that he chased down like plays routinely that were 20, 30 yards downfield after he ran into the backfield, did 3 circles around the quarterback, and then chased it down.
I'm sorry, is this your guy, Maddie, or is this my guy?
Actually, when somebody gets the guide, he might be my guy, Kent.
But it was just your position. I mean, I don't have any my guys because I have quarterbacks and running backs. One of my, I really like Brett Rippon. Oh, golly gee.
Okay. You really you hear like a lot of Dex whining? TD. Or...
You hear a lot of whining?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of whining.
You know what? I hope Maddie gets all of his prospects done. I hope he gets all of his write-ups done in time for you fine people. Because we've been saying 200, but maybe it won't break 200. Maybe you'd be right at 200 if Maddie doesn't get on it.
Raekwon Armstead.
I've watched some really bad quarterbacks, some really meh running backs. Like I'm not excited. I don't have a lot of my guys at my position. It's all the players I've had to
this
do
is
secondary
why we split
grades
up on. A bunch of positions. That's why we split up edge and safety and interior offensive line.
And then you still were like, oh, whoops, we didn't claim this guy. Whoops, oh, I'll just take him. Oh.
I gave Craig Sharif Miller just today.
How kind of you. To just not be adding another player on your plate this late in the process.
Right. I'm really just crossing my fingers that it knocks off a write-up that I don't want to defend. That is the real goal here.
I know. I can tell. Because you're so far behind because you had so many good players that you were just putting your flag in the entire season. September.
I feel so bad about this, too. I'm shedding tear upon tear upon tear right
is
now.
Is Darnell Savage any good? I don't know. I'll check him out. Okay, one more question. at Countryman426 asks, would you be okay with the Chiefs moving to the top of the second round and taking Rock Ya-Sin? So I think top of the second round's about where Rocky Austin's gonna wind up going. I love him. He's a my guy player, by the way. And it just really depends on how they approach the first round. I don't think the Chiefs can trade up into the first round and go get a guy like Cullen Farrell in the early 20s or the late teens, and also trade up and get a cornerback in the 30s, because now you're looking at, for day one and two, yes, you've addressed positions of need with good players, but that's it. That's all you've done. So that's where it kind of gets a little hazy for me. I'm not sure that they can make two trade-ups like that. So if they don't do anything and they just sit at 29, sure, yeah, maybe be more aggressive in round two. But beyond that,
yeah. Yeah. He's a good player. He's a good player, and he's got his best football in front of him. He played against lower competition, jumped to Temple for his last year of college, and then, you know, kind of was able to win a spot at Temple. Not only win a spot, Temple does this thing where they award their top nine players, the toughest players on their team with the top nine numbers. And Rock, his very first year, got awarded one of those numbers. He's a tough guy. He's a smart guy. He's going to develop. I would be fine with them trading up, but only if they haven't already sacrificed some assets to move up in the first.
So I'm a little lower, I think, on Rocky Ascend than everybody else. Not that I think he's a bad player or anything. I just think there is a fair amount of work to be done. And if he hits all of the work that's to be done, I'm not sure he has the same level of ceiling as some of the longer, slightly more athletic guys. So, I mean, for that reason, I don't think I'd be big into trading up to get him. If we traded out of 29 to draft Rocky Ascend at the top of the second round, I would like that a lot better. Just because, like I said, I don't see the ultimate super high upside, and I don't think you're getting a ready on day one player. So when that's kind of what you're going for, I'm not sure I'm into trading up for that at that point in time. But if the Chiefs draft him, whether it's a trade back from 29, or if they do to somehow get him late in the second round, I'm not going to be disappointed in it. I just think that I probably have 7 or 8 corners that I have rated a little bit higher than him right now. And if I'm trading up, there would have to be a lot bigger conviction that I have right now than I do with Ascend.
Fair enough. You're wrong, but fair enough. Okay. This has been quite.
Are you two done fighting yet? Are we done with this fight cast?
I don't even.
Are we done?
Maddie said he was going to poke the bear tonight because, like, this is a little behind the curtains. Like, we're grinding. We are shredding some content, shredding some tape. It's towards the end of this whole process, and it's been a day, it's been a week, it's been a march. And so I think we're all kind of having a little bit more fun than normal, and I'm being a little bit more, I'm poking the bear tonight is really what it is.
Now, how do you figure, of all of us that are irritated, we all know that it's you. You can't be the bear and be poking the bear, Kent.
I'm embracing the heel.
We got on this podcast, you are still 100% in the Kansas Jayhawk loss hangover. Yes, yes, I know. As the DM says, we knew they sucked all along. But let's be real. You weren't going public with that until they were getting smacked by 30 at halftime.
I know.
By my Tigers. Proceeded to come out and get worked again in the second half. It's okay. You can watch the rest of the March Madness tournament. Just sit there, lean back in your recliner, pet your dog, play with the little boy, have a good time, show him what real basketball looks like. It's okay.
You know, for being your Tigers, I'm surprised Andy Isabella wasn't your guy. You love him a lot.
I do actually not dislike Andy Isabella. He's a pretty solid guy. I just don't want to play him in the slot. I mean, that's all it is.
Name one player on your Tigers.
Cleveland Farrell played for my Tigers. Trevor Lawrence plays for my Tigers.
That's wonderful.
Knew he was
Grant
going
Delpit
there.
Plays for my Tigers.
No, okay, we're done here. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening and putting up with us on this wonderful March weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.